CITR.ca en todo el planeta. Saludos allá en Los Ángeles, California. Esto fue el show de Leo Ramírez. Conduzca tranquilo. Buenas tardes, buenas noches, buenos días en cualquier lugar donde nos sintonice.
Good evening, Lee.
Gentlemen, you are listening to CITR 101.9, coming to you live from the traditional, ancestral, and unceded territory of the Musqueam people. And now, the moment you've been waiting for.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Finding the Funny. Your host, Nico McEwen.
Hey there, everybody. You are listening to Finding the Funny, and today's episode is Political Comedy Part 1. One of my favorite things about comedy is its ability to discuss topics which otherwise might seem politically or socially incorrect, but comedy is able to fashion it in such a light that the audience accepts that it's being talked about and is able to find the humor within it. Throughout the history of comedy, comedians have been using the format in order to express certain views on the world or political opinions. For example, if any of you saw Chris D'Elia's new special on Netflix, which for all of us Vancouverites was actually filmed in Vancouver at the Vogue Theatre, which is quite exciting. It's a great special, I highly recommend it, but a large portion of his special is his opinion or views on what love is. Now, he used the stand-up format to kind of give examples that are obviously extreme of how not necessarily bad love is, but the things he would compare it to. Now, I'm not using this Chris D'Elia special as an example of political comedy, rather just mentioning it as an example of how comedians use stand-up in order to express views and opinions. This episode is going to be focused in on how those opinions can be quite political and can even leave you going, wow, that's a really good point. For all you longtime FTF listeners, you've heard me talk about Bill Burr and how he is a rant-style comedian who often shares his political views on overpopulation. Finally, I'm through an episode where I get to play that very bit. So here is Bill Burr on overpopulation.
And the deer population gets out of control. Some dude would literally get on TV and be like, all right, the deer population is up to about 17, 1800. Realistically, we need to get that number down about 5, 6 of them. All right? So start them all. If you got a gun, fucking shoot one in the face. I'm just sitting at home like, what are the deer doing that's so bad for the environment, you know? They're going to eat all the fucking grass. They're coming up to trees, just nibbling. Just nibbling. Dude, the deer didn't put a hole in the ozone layer, all right? That's not a bunch of dogs clogging up the freeways. It's us, right? We can fuck all we want. No one's going to stop. You could have 15 kids, have a 16th on the way. No one's going to get on TV and be like, all right, Paul is still fucking. Starting them off, you got a gun, fucking shoot them in the face. Do what you got to do. This guy, he's out of control. No, it's great. It's great, man. You can just keep banging away. You can just keep banging away, making one useless, mediocre, not going to invent shit kid after another. No, I don't understand people like that. So don't you realize after your third loser kid, you don't have the DNA to make somebody special? It's like, what are you doing? All you're doing, you're just making more in-the-way people just walking around, looking up at shit as you're trying to get down the sidewalk, you know? Oh, you know that dude, whenever you go into the deli, there's always that guy in front of you, doesn't know what he wants. Oh, what kind of bread is that? It's like, dude, stop making that fucking guy. Jesus Christ, that dude is everywhere. That's why I love old people. I love old people. They always with their family photos, cracks me up. They always like, well, they're all proud. Like, well, we had 5 kids, and then they all had 5, and da-da-da-da. It's like, yeah, none of you did shit. I don't recognize anybody in that photo. You just made 30 people who are all taking a shit every day that ends up in a river. That's not a family photo. That's an environmental disaster, and you framed it. I saw this thing, though, that they said if everybody went vegan, it would be a vegetarian, whatever the hell they said, one of those V ones, right? And they said it would be great for the environment, you know, because I guess there's all this cattle standing around, and when they fart, the gas goes up in the atmosphere and causes something. They're always doing that shit. You know, if everybody went vegan, the air would be... If everybody drove an electric car, if everybody just had some snowshoes on, they just won't come out and say it. Nobody has the balls to come out and say it and just say, look, 85% of you have to go. That's it. That is it. I have been bitching about the population problem for 3 specials in a row. Waiting for some politician to have the balls to bring it up, but they won't do it. We live in a democracy, right? Can't be honest in a democracy. You need the votes. You can't run with that as your platform. Coming out there, and if elected, I would implement a program to immediately eliminate at least 85% of you. This planet cannot sustain the sheer numbers. Let me finish. This will not be arbitrary. Under your seats is a multiple choice questionnaire. If you did not bring a pencil, you're already out.
So those 2 clips were from 2 different specials by Bill Burr. I wanted to start with Bill Burr for this political comedy episode because he is a very direct comedian when it comes to political comedy. He has very strong opinions and he's going to tell them to you. I challenge any of you listening out there to try to have a conversation with a group of friends about how you think the world is overpopulated and a lot of people need to go. Just doesn't quite happen like that. But with humor and comedy, you're able to bring up these topics and everyone gets to have the fallback of, oh, well, we're joking. Obviously, I think in 3 specials, we've realized that Bill Burr has some seriousness behind it, and it's actually expressing some real views. But the reason that he's able to talk about it in stand-up is because the audience has that fallback. Thus, they're able to find the humor in it and not be burdened by feeling guilty thinking about or talking about that subject matter. I could talk about Bill Burr all day long and his political comedy, but we will be moving on to our next comedian right after an ad from our sponsors. Hey there, Thunderbirds. Your UBC Birdcage is going to be back and better than ever this year. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram to stay up to date with all the awesome things that your UBC Birdcage is doing. And we're back with Finding the Funny here on CITR 101.9. Don't forget, fans, that if you want to comment on today's episode, all you gotta do is follow us at Finding the Funny on Twitter and let us know all your thoughts and answers to questions asked throughout the show. The next comedian we're going to be playing on today's episode of Political Comedy, another comedian out of Boston. This is going to be Louis C.K., and it's a bit more of an example of subtle political humor, or political humor that has been disguised in such a way that a deeper or more prominent issue. Now, before I play this clip, I do want to acknowledge that this is a very important matter that should be discussed, and whether it be through sincere discussion, I just think it's important that it is talked about. As well, we'd like to remind our listeners that CITR is proud to play content that we find has cultural and artistic merit and may seem offensive to some listeners.
This is because I was raised in the 70s. The 70s were a very different time. The 70s, everything was different in the 70s than it is now, except the Middle East is exactly the same. It's exactly the same as it was in the 70s. It's been the same fights, and you know what? It's boring now. That's the worst part of it. When I was a kid, we were like, ugh, but you can't go like this for like 1,000 years. After a while, when you fight, people don't care, because when you're just both, you just keep fighting. Everybody's like, those guys are dicks. They just fight. That's what it's like. You know, like I have 2 kids, and they fight sometimes. And when they first start fighting, I get concerned. I go in their room. I'm like, hey, what's going on? What's wrong? Why are we having some feelings? Can we listen to each other, please? Can we please just listen to each other? Okay, you go first. And then she goes, she's like, yeah, that sounds hard. Okay, thank you. Okay, now you. Because I like this one a little more, so that's why I'm And they work it out. You help them work it out. But if they keep fighting, you stop doing that. After a while, you just go in the room and you just go, hey, just shut up. Fuck off. Because you won't stop fighting. You're in a family. There's other people in this family, and you're being a couple of selfish little bitches that won't fix anything. You share a room. We can't afford another room, so just deal with it. Somehow this has to do with Israel and Palestine. I don't know exactly. I don't remember how. Like Israel and Palestine, and I'm like America. The little one's like Palestine because she always gets screwed. She gets the worst deals. She's like, she threw a rock at my face. I'm like, you're fine. Look, you have a great life. You get to take a rock to the face once in a while. You're fine. The older one is like Israel. She comes at me. She burnt all my dolls. I'm like, look, I can't do anything about it right now. Your sister is crazy. Please don't make me talk to her. I'll work it out, you and me, okay? We'll go out, I'll buy you a really cool missile, and you do whatever you do with it. It's totally up to you.
So that was Louis C.K. and his thoughts on Israel-Palestine. As well, we heard his thoughts on his daughter's fighting. That was some political comedy. Of course, we all knew what he was talking about, and that's what made it funny, was the personification of Israel and Palestine. So that's our second type of political comedy, fitting in a darker topic into a more relatable subject matter. One of the reasons why I fell in love with comedy was the fact that after listening or watching comedy, I would often find myself saying, I hadn't thought about that like that. Sometimes comedians will go a step further and leave the jokes aside just to express a message to the crowd. I don't know if any of you saw Aziz Ansari's Live at Madison Square Garden on Netflix. A lot of the commentary surrounding it was that it was too politically active and not funny enough. Now, I'll agree a comedian's first job is to make the audience laugh. I think it's best if a comedian tries to make a point in small portions. For our final clip, a man who is known for his political satire. This is Bill Hicks. It's Just a Ride.
There is a point. Is there a point to all this? Let's find a point. Is there a point to my act? I would say there is. I have to. The world is like a ride at an amusement park. And when you choose to go on it, you think it's real because that's how powerful our minds are. And the ride goes up and down and round and round. It has thrills and chills, and it's very brightly colored, and it's very loud. And it's fun for a while. Some people have been on the ride for a long time, and they begin to question, is this real or is this just a ride? And other people have remembered, and they come back to us, and they say, hey, don't worry, don't be afraid, ever, because this is just a ride. And we kill those people.
Shut him up. We have a lot invested in this ride. Shut him up. Look at my furrows of worry. Look at my big bank account and my family. This has to be real.
It's just a ride. But we always kids who try and tell us that. You ever notice that? And let the demons run amok? But it doesn't matter because it's just a ride. And we can change it anytime we want. It's only a choice. No effort, no work, no job, no savings of money. A choice right now between fear and love. The eyes of fear want you to put bigger locks on your door, buy guns, close yourself off. The eyes of love instead see all of us as one. Here's what we can do to change the world right now to a better ride. Take all that money we spend on weapons and defense each year and instead spend it feeding, clothing, and educating the poor of the world, which it would many times over, not being excluded, and we can explore space together, both inner and outer, forever in peace.
That'll do it for today's episode of Fun. That'll do it for today's episode of Finding the Funny here on CITR. Huge thank you to all of the listeners. Reminder, you can follow at Finding the Funny on Twitter. Our sincere apologies for any glitches throughout the show. We will work on those for next week. Don't forget to keep tuning in to CITR. We have Exploding Head Movies coming up next. It's sure to be an awesome show. A huge thank you to our sponsors and all the people here at CITR that go into making this. As always, ladies and gentlemen, keep on laughing.